السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 135 and 136 of Surah An-Nisa today. We'll start with the word meanings, inshallah, of ayah number 135. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين. يا أيها or يا is used to address people. So يا أيها in this case means الذين, those who آمنوا, they believed. This is a verb. It comes from إيمان, which means belief. Amanu ends in vowel alif, so it's plural. So they believed. Kunu. This word is a command. Okay, it comes from kun, which means to be. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying kunu, ending in vowel alif. And this word tells us that it's plural. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all the believers when he says kunu, you all be qawwamina. Qawwam means someone who upholds, okay, someone who maintains. Ina ending just makes this word plural, so ones who uphold or maintain. Be with al the qist. Qist means justice. And here, if we put both of these words together, قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ means ones who maintain utmost justice. شُهَدَاءَ. شُهَدَاء is plural for the word شَهِيد, which means a witness. So شُهَدَاءَ as witnesses. لِلَّهِ li for اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ wa even, lo, if, ala, against, anfusikum. Anfus is plural for nafs, so it means souls, kum, yours. And of course, in English, it makes more sense just to say yourselves. So, walo, even if, ala, against, anfusikum, yourselves. Oh, or, alwalidaini, the parents, aini ending, tells us this word is dual, so the two parents, right? So avil walidaini or the parents. Wal aqrabin, wa means and, al means the. Aqrabin comes from qurb, qaf ra ba, which means near. So aqrab is one that is near or closely related. Ina ending makes this word plural, so aqrabin, closely related people, the near relatives. So wal aqrabin you can write as and the close relations or the close relatives. In, if, ya kun. Kun means to be. Ya tells us this word is in the third person. Ya kun, he is ghaniyan. Ghani means somebody who is rich. Okay, somebody who is wealthy. So ghaniyan, one rich. Aw or faqiran. Faqir means somebody who is needy or poor. So or faqiran, one poor or needy. Fallahu. The prefix fa means then. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awla is nearer. Wali is the root word here, and that means close or a guardian or best friend. Awla means nearer. Alif in the beginning just adds more emphasis to the word. So awla is nearer. Be with hima, both of them, or them too. We already learned that the huma and hima ending means them, and it refers to two people. This is the dual tense, so both of them. Fa, so, or then, la, do not, tattabi'u. Tabi'a means to follow. Tattabi'u begins with the, meaning you, and vowelif in the end tells us this word is plural. So tattabi'u, you all follow. Al-hawa, al means the, hawa, desires. An, that not. Ta'dilu, this word comes from adal, ayn dal lam, which means justice. Ta in the beginning means you, vowelif in the end makes this word plural. So ta'dilu, you all maintain justice. So fala tattabi'u, so do not follow. Al-hawa, the desires. An, that not. Ta'dilu, you all maintain justice. Wa, and. In, if. Talwu, you all twist. Aw, or. Toridu, you all turn away. Fa, then. Inna, indeed. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kana, he is. Bima, be with. Ma, whatever. Ta'amaluna, ayn mim lam. Amal is the root word, and that means to do. Da in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. Ta'amaluna, you all do. Khabira, always all aware. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. Ya ayyuha, oh, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. Aminu, this is a command. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of us, all the believers, and he's saying, aminu, you all believe, be with, or in, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and rasulihi, rasul, messenger, he, his, wa, and al-kitab, the book, alladhi, which, nazala, he gradually sent down, or he gradually revealed, ala, upon, rasulihi. Rasul means messenger, he, his. Wal kitab, wa, and al, the kitab, book, alladhi, which, anzala, he revealed, or he sent down, min qabl, from before. Wa, and man, whoever, yakfur, he disbelieves. Kufr is the root word, and that means disbelief. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yakfur, he disbelieves. Be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and malaikatihi, malaika, angels, he, his. Wa, and kutubihi, kutub is plural for kitab, which means book. So kutub means books, he, his. Wa, and rusulihi, rusul is plural for the word rasul. Rasul means one messenger, rusul means messengers. He, his. Wal yawm, wa, and al, the, yawm, day, al akhir, the last, meaning the day of judgment. Fa qad, fa, then, qad, in fact, dhalla, he strayed, dhalalan, a definite straying. Now, this is the same word, but it's repeated to add more emphasis, to add more depth to the word before. And dhalalan means an act of straying. Okay, so dhalla, he strayed. This is a verb. Dhalalan, a definite straying. Ba'ida, one far away. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We learned about being shuhada much earlier in the Quran. We talked about it. And we learned that we have to do the work that prophets were sent to do before, because no more prophets will come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that responsibility. if we're wondering what that work is that the prophets did, and now we have to do, it is to stand firm for justice and be witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been assigned with this responsibility, as we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran before. Now it's mentioned here again in Ayah 135 of Surah Nisa. And we're going to learn about it again in Surah Ma'idah also, inshallah. This surah, Surah Nisa, especially tells us how important it is to fulfill the rights of the weak people in society. The rights of women, children, and orphans. We have been ordered to be just in our dealing with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told women not to rebel or mistreat their husbands. So they're not supposed to rebel against or mistreat them. And men were told not to mistreat their wives or be indifferent in their in dealing with them. Both men and women were guided with steps that they should take when dealing with their spouse if they feared rebellion from their spouse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them exactly, step by step, on what they need to do, how they begin, and then how they take action against whatever is being done to try to control the situation. Okay, so they were guided. This surah tells us about justice and being fair over and over again. And now in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers. Whenever we see these words, we should be prepared for an order that's going to come up next. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants all the believers to do, all of us, because we are the believers. And He addresses us when an ayah starts out this way. Here He says, O believers, kunu, be, qawwamina bil qist, ones who uphold justice. He wants us to be just and to maintain al qist, which is utmost justice. It's an even higher level than adal. Okay, because adal means to be fair, to just do or treat someone according to how you are treated. That's fair, being fair. But qist is a higher level of adal. Okay, it's not just being fair, it means utmost justice. Because qist applies to all our matters, whether it's family matters or dealing with other people out of the house, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. It doesn't matter. It means to be fair and just towards all. And it means to be fair as an individual, for normal people like us, and for judges to be fair when they make legal decisions. It relates to all fields of life. And so, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kunu qawwamina bil qist, how can we implement that role practically? Well, whenever we have to make any decision concerning anyone, whether it's our neighbors, an employee, or a co-worker or relatives, we have to be fair with them. That would be maintaining justice. Say the truth and do what's right, even if you have to face the laws as a result of it. That is qist. Whatever we do has to be done properly. For example, if we have dedicated some time to study the Quran, we shouldn't be doing other unnecessary things while we are in the process of studying it during that time, because that would not be just. we wouldn't be doing justice. So the Quran tells us to be qawwam for justice. And that means we should be protecting and upholding justice. There is so much emphasis in the word qawwam. Not only does it mean to be just, but it means to enjoin others to be just as well. To tell other people to be fair also. If people are fair while living in a community, there wouldn't be so many cases of injustice that the law has to handle. People would be fair in their dealing with each other and social justice would be established. So there would be fewer people taking their cases to court for a decision or seeking legal help. If individuals started being fair, the whole system can be just. Otherwise, no laws can help establish justice. Even if the Sharia, the divine law, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were set as the rule of the land, it would not be able to establish justice if people did not obey, if they weren't being just. If people are not just, no kind of law will help. Now, why is that? To understand this better, let's look at an example of a person who goes looking for a job. Okay, someone who is unemployed and they're looking for a job. That person spends years trying to find work without a reference. He doesn't lie or use his contacts to get a job. He wants to do things the right way, but he doesn't end up finding a job for a long time. Or it's because he doesn't know anyone important in society who can connect him to the right people. So he doesn't get a job. When he starts to suffer financially and he realizes that he can't even afford food anymore, he ends up stealing something to be able to survive. Now, if the Sharia law applies, people would want that person's hand to be cut off for being a thief. And they would be happy that the thief's hand was cut off and justice is done. But that would not be justice at all in that case, would it? Even if the Sharia law was to be implemented, would that be justice? No, because that person should have been given a fair chance at employment first. His financial needs should have been met first, with fair opportunities, equal rights. And then these laws would be implemented. Only then it would be fair for him to be punished for stealing, after he had a fair chance to earn a living. So even before the best laws are carried out, people have to be treated fairly first. If we take the rule of four witnesses who have seen someone commit zina, who testify. Four witnesses who testify that they are eyewitnesses. It seems fair, right? And normally people would think that they're not saying anything wrong. But imagine if those four people decide to falsely accuse someone of committing zina, just to get rid of that person. That would be really unfair. And imagine if that person is falsely accused and they're punished. So they're either lashed 100 times or they're stoned to death if they're married. That's injustice, because he should not have gone through that punishment when he was innocent, right? So even though that law was followed, it wasn't fairly applied. Only because the individuals accusing the person were not being fair. They were not being just. They were lying. Only when people are just can these laws do justice. When people are fair as individuals, only then the government and the system can establish justice. That's why it's very important for everyone to try and be fair. When parents deal with children, they have to be just with them as well. Our predecessors used to call their other child to kiss that child whenever they kissed the one who was close by to them, just so they were being fair. Even if parents love one child more than another naturally, for whatever reason, maybe that child is sick, so they treat that child better or they care more, they're not allowed to show in their dealing with their children that that child is more special in any way to them. They have to be fair when doing things so the children can't tell. Whenever people are unfair in these matters, the kids start arguing with one another. They get jealous of one another and they compete with each other just because their parents were not fair in their treatment of the children. Even when it comes to inheritance, sometimes parents give one child more than they're entitled to get Islamically. That is not right. That's being unjust. And at times when children are young, one child takes something that belongs to the other, and the parents just ignore the situation. They tell the children to resolve the matter on their own. When they do that, when they ignore and they say, oh, go work it out yourselves, without trying to fix the situation, they're basically training the child who unfairly took something to do whatever they want. They're telling that child that you can get away with it. And they let that child know that it's okay to take something that's not rightfully theirs. This is why so many people take things belonging to their siblings unjustly, even when they're all grown up, because they're just so used to it. So we have to maintain justice at the basic level within the small family unit, and then justice can be upheld in society. If someone doesn't get what they're entitled to, they become unjust and start taking things forcefully, or they eventually start taking what's not even rightfully theirs because they complain that I never was treated fairly. Just because their rights were never fulfilled by others, they treat others with injustice. This is the ripple effect we see in many situations. And a lot of protests take place just because people want justice to be done. But it's not done a lot of times. In Surah Hadid, ayah number 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very powerful. He says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. We surely sent rasuls, meaning messengers, and the book and the scale so that people can maintain justice. That tells us that the purpose of the book is to make us stand firm on justice, not just to read it. And of course, in order to maintain justice, we have to study the book and learn about the rights of others. For example, when it comes to the rights of parents, the rights of relatives, those rights can only be fulfilled when we know about them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us everything about inheritance in the Quran as well, so we can be just. If people's rights were fulfilled, they would be so at peace. Nobody would suffer unjustly. So we are told to qama bil qist, to stand firmly with justice, using all our might, all our power. We have to establish justice on the earth so injustice can come to an end. All Muslims are responsible for doing this. And we have to do it to ensure everyone is treated fairly. That also means that people cannot be paid less than they deserve for a job they do, because that would be unfair. Okay, so whenever they work for someone, they should be paid as is their right. That is justice. Muslims have to uphold justice. But it's sad to see how many Muslims rip people off. And they're unjust. They trick or cheat others. This happens from within the smaller family unit to a larger scale as the government. We must understand that we are all judges at times. And we must do whatever is in our power to carry out justice. And when we say that it all starts out at home, within the family unit, it means in the smaller cases within the home. And in a broader sense, we should look around also to make sure we don't support injustice, no matter where it's done. It shouldn't matter whether the two parties involved are Muslim or not. We have to stand with the fair one instead of just supporting someone because they're Muslim. We have to take the right approach and be just, whether it's about issues between two Muslims, a Muslim and a non-Muslim, or between two non-Muslims. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just order us to establish justice between Muslims. He says to stand with the one who is fair, even if it's two non-Muslims fighting against each other. We shouldn't think that if it's two non-Muslims fighting, that it's none of our business, or let them fight, or enjoy watching. Astaghfirullah. As Muslims, it's our duty to stand with the just party and speak out against the unfair person. So much dhulm or injustice is done at times. And that's why people leave their homes to go out into the streets and protest against the government. Islam made it very clear 1400 years ago that no white man is superior to a black man. And no black man is superior to a white man. And an Arab is not superior to a non-Arab. And neither is a non-Arab superior to an Arab in any way, besides in how much taqwa a person has. So Muslims have to speak out against the injustice they see. That's how we can be just. We have to make sure we stand with people who are just, even when it involves two parties, where a Muslim is being unfair and a non-Muslim is just. We have to stand with the one who is fair. There are so many examples of this from history. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always fair between people, regardless of who they were. Even when two Muslims are fighting against each other, stand with the one who is just. Don't just stand with the one who claims to be doing things for Allah, even when he goes around terrorizing people or killing them. How can he be doing things for Allah in that case? It would be wrong to support such a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be shuhada lillah. Okay, he says, bear true witness for the sake of Allah. So we should testify for the pleasure of Allah. We have to state the truth so justice can be done. Secondly, as we learned earlier, that we were made to be the Ummate Wasat, meaning the middle, moderate nation, the balanced nation, to be a witness upon mankind. So not only are we responsible for being just, we have to set an example for others so they can also be just and they can testify to the truth. The greatest testimony is of Tawheed, the declaration that we believe in one Allah. There are many more things we testify as well, but Tawheed is the greatest testimony, the belief in one Allah. We have to be a good representative of this testimony. When we only worship Allah, we're being just then too. because he is the one who created us. So, of course, only he deserves to be worshipped. If we establish justice like that, we would be representing justice. So, matters should be handled بالقسط, with utmost justice, when it comes to the rights of Allah and the rights of other people. Because we as Muslims should be known for being fair in all our matters. So people would get to know how beautiful our religion is. Because that's what it guides us to. We try to tell non-Muslims that our religion promotes peace. But they don't understand. Because of the condition of so many Muslims around them. They're not attracted to deen because they see Muslims around them doing all sorts of bad things. Being involved with frauds and deception, lying and cheating. And Muslims often sit there and they complain that they're discriminated against at airports, even when they visit Muslim countries. But it's because so many Muslims from certain countries have become known for their wrongdoing or lying. All the frauds they commit, and other people who have been peaceful over the years have established that image of being peaceful people. So they're not stopped for questioning when Muslims often are. It's due to the reputation Muslims have acquired as a result of the action of some of the bad ones. They're known for being violent because of those Muslims who are caught up in those things, for being frauds. If Muslims try to do da'wah and they tell others that they want to teach them about a religion that stands for peace, others aren't really interested because they don't see them be good examples of peace. That's why most of the times people now accept Islam once they've read the Quran. After having read the Quran, they don't accept after watching Muslims because they're impressed by them, because they're not impressed by their behavior. Many Muslims are not fair or just in their dealings in life. So we have to be just when it comes to our personal lives and stand for justice on earth. That's what Islam teaches us. It promotes justice. Whenever we read a story about the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was Khalifa, even before we get to the end, we assume that justice must have been done, right? We just know it. And that's because we know that it was impossible for him to be unfair. That's how Muslims are supposed to be. We're practicing the same religion that he did, right? So why is there so much of a difference between our behavior and his? Why is it so easy for Muslims now to lie and be unfair when it was impossible for him? Muslims should be known for being just because that's what Islam teaches. But we see that the non-Muslims or the West has started to implement the rules that Islam teaches of justice. And the Muslims have stopped being fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be shuhada lillah, bear true witness for the sake of Allah. Only then it would be based on justice. If people testify to please others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, justice would not be done. And the next part tells us that we have to uphold justice, even if that means going against ourselves, our parents, or our relatives. We have to be fair, stand firm for justice, and bear true witness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even though it be against yourselves, even if that testimony is against your own self. Avil walidaini, or your parents. Wal aqrabina, and your close relatives. Close relatives like your son, your daughter, sister, your brother, grandma, uncle or aunt, like all these people are akkorab. They're your close relatives. Even when it's our close family, we have to support justice so there can be peace in the land. So if your mother says something unfair, you cannot think that you have to support her because she's your mother. We have to do utmost good with parents. We know that, right? We learned that we have to do ihsan with parents. But we cannot support them in their wrongdoing when they're being unjust. That's not allowed. Justice in that case would be to say the truth. Say that they're doing something or saying something wrong. Even though it would be really difficult, we have to do that. We cannot support our parents or ignore their wrongdoing when they're being unfair, because that would be dhulm or injustice. And that dhulm will take the form of darkness on the Day of Judgment. We don't want to be in that darkness or have our parents be surrounded by darkness. Also, parents are often unfair towards one child, or they're not fair in their treatment with their daughter-in-law or son-in-law. When that happens, they should be reminded that they're not being fair. The other family members should remind them. We have to keep in mind that we're not being good to parents if we support them blindly or stay quiet when they do injustice. They have to be reminded that it's wrong, so they won't be surrounded by darkness on the Day of Judgment because of that injustice. A lot of times, people don't speak out against injustice when their parents are involved. Okay, they tend to ignore it, like the mom being unfair to her son's wife, for example. Nobody else in the family bothers to speak up or stands up for that daughter-in-law because they think they're being respectful to their parents by staying quiet. But they're actually causing mischief when they do that. They're not showing respect to the parents. Most people tend to stay out of it, even when they see something happen right in front of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to stand firm with justice, even when it goes against your own relatives. In the former times, Muslims actually followed these rules. And that's why people used to welcome them without fear. The Islamic government was so fair that once when a Muslim army was going back, the residents of that area started crying because they didn't want the army to leave. They wanted them to stay there, even though the people who lived there were disbelievers themselves. They did not want them to go because the Muslim army treated them so well. Subhanallah. So we have to work hard to promote that image of Muslims again. We have to do our part. إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا. It doesn't matter whether the party is rich or poor. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the well-wisher of both. That means, if one person is rich and the other is poor, and you're deciding between the two, do not favor the rich person just because you're impressed by him. So you don't end up judging in favor of him just because you're impressed. And at the same time, you're not supposed to favor the poor person just because you feel sorry for him. Don't think that it's okay to testify in favor of the one that's not right. Even then, that's not allowed. Thinking that the poor person has struggled in life, it's okay to let them get away with it and favor them? That's not right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to turn away from justice, no matter what that person's status is, their social status. That should not matter when we testify. We should just focus on saying what is fair and support the person who is right. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Then Allah is nearer to both of them, the wealthy person and the poor person. He wants the best for both of them, and he wants us to support the one who is right, whether it's the wealthy person or the needy. stand with the one who's right. Because if the poor person takes something that's not rightfully his, we can't just say that, oh, it shouldn't make a difference to the wealthy guy anyway. He should just give it to the poor person because he has a lot more of that item, or he has so much wealth, so it wouldn't make a difference to him. We can't support the needy person when he's doing something wrong just because we feel sorry for him. He should not have taken something that wasn't his. But if the rich person had given it to the poor one by choice, that would have been ihsan on his part. He would have been doing utmost good, and that would have been fine. But if the poor person takes it forcefully, that is not adal. That's not justice. So we can't stand with that poor person then. He isn't allowed to do that. And others shouldn't feel sorry for him if he tries to prove that it's okay because the other person is so wealthy anyway. Justice must be done, even when we have to decide against the poor person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for both of them. But we don't have the right to support anyone unjustly just because we're worried about them. We can't do that. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. So let not your selfish desires swerve you from injustice. From justice. Or let not your selfish desires make you do injustice. Okay? People want to save money. Or they get back at others by falsely testifying against them, just because the other person had done something to hurt them before. Right? So they falsely testify against that person to get back at them. They do things due to their desires. But we cannot favor anyone just because we like them or we don't like them. Okay? When the other person is right, we have to stand by them, whether we like them or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says not to let desires get in the way of justice. وَإِن تَلْوُوا. And if you distort your testimony, أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا, or decline to give it, this means if you twist your tongue to cover the truth, so you make it unclear as to which person is to blame, or you refrain from being involved, saying that people should handle their matters themselves. Even when you can testify to the truth because you are the witness, if you turn away or try to hide the truth, that's not right. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best witness is the one who testifies even before he is called to testify." So we shouldn't say that we don't have time to go or we can't go to testify when our testimony is needed. When we have seen something take place, whether it's about matters at home or out of the house, we have to testify to the truth and be just. So if you distort your testimony or decline to testify, you refuse to, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, then you should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of your actions. Isn't that enough to make us want to testify if we have seen something happen? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O those who believe, آمِنُوا, believe, بِاللَّهِ, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rasulihi, and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal kitabi, and the book, alladhi nazzala ala rasulihi, which he has revealed to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the Quran, wal kitabi alladhi anzala min qabl, and the book which he previously revealed, meaning before the Quran, And that book refers to the Torah. Okay? So, والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل refers to the Torah, according to many scholars. Because the word أنزل is used for the Torah. It was revealed all at once, right? So, أنزل is used, meaning it was revealed, like all the other former books that were unlike the Quran. Because the Quran was revealed gradually over time. And that's why the word Nazala is used for the Quran, because it was gradually revealed. And we know Musa alayhi salam was given the tablets with the Sharia, or the divine law, religious law, all at once. So Anzala is used for the Torah. So Al-Kitab alladhi anzala min qabl means the Torah, because the Sharia was revealed in the Torah. And the word Al-Kitab in this phrase can also mean all of the books that were previously revealed, not just the Torah. So the believers are told to believe in all of those books. After belief in Allah, the Messenger, and the Quran, we have to believe in all four of these things. And how can that be done when the believers have already believed? How are they supposed to believe again? The thing is, when someone takes the Shahada, they become Muslim. They declare that they have submitted, and they're called a believer. But that person has to do more after that, because the believers are told to believe. That means they have to consciously believe, have a conscious Iman. Like those of us who were born Muslims, have been believers our whole lives. But we take religion for granted because we were born Muslims. But it's after we study the Quran that we actually feel like we have believed. It's because before we studied the Quran, we just said we believe, right? But now we know how we have to believe in Allah, in what way, and we try to be conscious of Him. We now know that we cannot just claim to be Muslims. Our actions have to prove it. That's where people like us, the Muslims with a weak Iman, and we know that Iman either increases or decreases over time. So, as for people who are better than us, those who are already conscious Muslims, the phase that we're trying to get to, if people are already conscious Muslims, they are also told to believe. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to all the believers here. So when they're told to believe, how would they do that? They would increase their Iman even more. Their level of Iman should be increasing higher. They would strengthen it even more than before. But how is it possible for a person to increase their Iman? Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, "Come sit with me for a little bit so we can believe for a little bit." Now, we all know that the Sahaba, all the beloved companions of Prophet ﷺ, were already believers. So what did he mean when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, "Let's believe for a little while"? He meant, let's talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a while. Because dhikr of Allah increases a person's level of Iman. Our Iman needs nourishment in order to bloom. It needs the right environment so that it doesn't die out. We have to try to be around people who help increase our Iman. Spend time with them and speak to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will help us redefine our lives according to the Shahada. Everything we say, everything we do, we think, and our priorities Our lives should be according to Islam, according to the Shahada that we've taken. We should try to shape our lives and our way of thinking according to the Shahada and reform ourselves so that we prioritize Islam. Everything, including our way of thinking, should be according to our belief. That is the iman that is needed. We sit back and we relax after taking the Shahada, okay, as if we're all done. But that's not what iman requires. We have just begun when we take the Shahada. That's just step one. We have to work hard and fulfill the requirements in order to seek the reward. A lot of people think it's enough to just pray Salah, fast, and perform Hajj after having believed. They don't think they have to do anything else. But remember that those are just the pillars of Islam. We have to add to those pillars because they're just the foundation. We have to build on them and decorate them by doing good deeds. Not just be happy and accept the bare minimum that we're able to do and be pleased with doing the basics. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all the believers, Aminu, believe. The way we should believe when we have iman in our hearts. When we don't just say it, but we believe it with certainty. Again, we were told to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, the Quran, and the books that were previously revealed. We should check and find out if we do believe in all these things with certainty, or if we just claim to be believers, because that's not acceptable. Once we believe with certainty, it would be easy for us to do good deeds. But if we don't believe with certainty, we struggle just to do the basics. Even the easy good deeds, the ones that are very easy to do, they start to seem difficult. So we have to believe with certainty. Only then we would feel honored to be able to do anything for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we would actually want to spend our lives in His way without letting any chance to do anything good pass. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ And he who denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ And his angels, وَكُتُبِهِ And his books, وَرُسُلِهِ And his messengers, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ And the last day, meaning the day of judgment, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا Then indeed he has gone far astray. That person has strayed far away in that case. So it's really important to believe in all the things mentioned here. That's how people can stay on the right path and get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone leaves out any of the things from the list of beliefs here, and that means belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, belief in His books, His messengers, and the Day of Judgment. If anyone leaves any of these things out, that person has no iman. Okay, that person is not really a believer. If anyone denies any one of the things from this list, they're not considered a believer. And we know that the Jews believe in Allah, right? The Jews believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in the Day of Judgment, and they believe in their book and their messenger. But they deny all the other messengers. They don't believe the other messengers. That's why they're not considered believers. It's important to believe in all the messengers. If anyone denies any one of the Rasuls, any one of the messengers, their iman is incomplete. And as for the Day of Judgment, we have to believe in all the parts of the Day of Judgment. And that includes resurrection after death, account taking, Jannah, Jahannam, all those things. We have to believe in all of them. We can't say that, oh, Jahannam doesn't even exist and only Jannah exists and we're just going to end up there. Because that's not what Iman teaches. We know that there's a paradise and then there is Jahannam as well. We have to believe in all the parts of the Day of Judgment, all the phases, like all the other things listed in this ayah. In order to call ourselves believers, we have to believe and proclaim that we do believe in all these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman in all these things, so we can believe with certainty. And may He make it easy for us to do good deeds, to seek His approval. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, we'll finish up here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته